And a good Friday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos today. We made it to Friday. One college football playoff game in the books. Preds get a big shootout win. And the Titans coaching search is completely underway. Hi, Joe.
What's going on, man? I was not expected to be here today. Because remember on Tuesday, Wednesday, all of our favorite meteorologists said by Friday it would be
severe weather
and storms. Don't leave the house. And get this morning, it's like, hey, it's all been canceled.
Okay. I heard wind this morning, but so there's no severe weather now?
Evidently not. There might be a passing storm later on.
Yeah.
But I'll have that coming up in your 7 day.
Oh, cool.
But we're here, man. I got to tell you.
A passing storm is usually like right after the show in the men's bathroom.
Hey-o, right? It's funny because it's true. With that being said, I got to tell you, when I'm wrong, I will admit when I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So when they went to the BCS, I was not happy. When they went to four playoff, I was not happy. When they went to 12, I was not happy. But I got to tell you, these college football playoff games have been nothing short of absolutely outstanding. Even the Indiana kicking Alabama's butt was mesmerizing because I had not seen that happen in decades. Last night's game, I've got no dog in the hunt. Last night's game, I was on the edge of my seat. Not only that game, Chase, the three the week before, even the Oregon-Texas Tech game, I'm like, all right, Texas Tech's supposed to be really good. Let's see what they got. They had nothing. I watched Oregon just dismantle them. And last night's game was a classic.
It was awesome.
Absolutely.
Especially
classic.
That fourth quarter was
tremendous. Man.
So Miami wins. They advance to the national championship game, which will be played in Miami. So they will be the first in the college football playoff era to play essentially a home game in the championship game.
Right.
Which will be cool to see. And they will play Indiana or Oregon, which that game will take place tonight. A few quick thoughts on the game, and I know you're going to bring this up, but like Ole Miss scores, they have the lead. You know Miami's got time to march downfield, and all they need is a field goal to tie and send this thing to overtime. Mario Cristobal got a crap ton of my respect last night. He was playing to win, not to tie.
My man, all day.
And I was like, thank you, thank you. Thank you. And he showed, I mean, how he had the attitude. My mom was like, why is he being so mean? He just won. I was like, Mom, that's a coach. He's coaching.
Oh, that's
good. The job ain't done yet. Like, and it was good to see our old friend Eric Moses on TV as well. But like, the job's not done yet. I mean, he was yelling at people like, can we get our players up here instead of these random ass people that are on the stage?
Good,
like, I love that.
Yes.
But he played to win, not to tie.
He did. Right. And then the other night, the FCS championship game, Montana State and Illinois State, Illinois State played to tie. And they tried to kick a field goal and got blocked. But I'm with you, man. I'm with you. It was great. And I got to tell you that I'm trying to find some stuff here. I'm sorry. With Pete Golding last night, why he did not blitz Carson Beck on those last two plays inside the 10, I don't – now, evidently he did this when he was at Alabama, the same thing. Didn't always blitz, and it drove Saban crazy when I was reading last night. You just can't let a quarterback stand back there all day long, man. You can't. You go after him and make him do something. But Carson Beck took advantage of it, got in the end zone. Great game. They win the game.
Yep. I agree. But, yeah, I mean, that was the thing with Ole Miss was I felt like they were playing for the tie, too, with the way they were playing defense, and ultimately – Carson Beck goes down there and walks in for the game winner. And credit to Ole Miss that you run two quick plays where you put yourself in an opportunity to win on a walk-off.
Yeah.
I mean, you take a couple of inches, and that last play might be different.
Right. And I don't know why Ole Miss had the two plays. I look at Miami's defense. They got guys 20 yards back.
Yeah.
I get don't give up the deep ball, but cover the insides. At least the boundary. And Ole Miss was able to get down the field quickly and do that. Now, I've been asked this morning. I was asked at breakfast, like, well, that was a pass interference on Miami.
I didn't think so.
Both grabbing each other.
They could have both gotten called.
You're not calling a pass interference. Now, remember what happened 23 years ago. 23 years ago. at that, not that stadium, but in the Fiesta Bowl. Remember? Mm-hmm. Miami and Ohio State?
Oh, yeah.
The pass interference call. Which
and Miami's been, like, cursed with the – which, look, Holly Rowe is very good at what she does. When she asked that question to Cristobal, like, and he answered it to his credit well, but – I can see the look on his face of like, I don't give a flying, you know what, about.
Right, he doesn't. So every play that Miami's been in the Fiesta Bowl has come down to the last play. Yeah. It was that play with Ohio State in the 2003 Fiesta Bowl. The 1987 Fiesta Bowl, they drove down the field, and Vinny Testaverde threw the interception to linebacker Pete Giftopoulos, who intercepted it on the five-yard line, and they lost the game, and last night they won the game. But at the end, man, it was a fantastic game. And I expect tonight's Peach Bowl between Indiana, Oregon to be the same. But why Pete Golden did not send the farm after Carson Beck, who basically crip walked into the end zone, man. He could have danced all day to get in there, and they won the game last night.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But, dude, that little receiver for Miami,
uh-huh.
That's only a freshman.
That's a dude.
He
right
needs
there.
To hit the portal because some team's going to offer him $50 million, right? Yeah. He is something else. He just takes it and go.
I
love that.
I want Reuben Bain. I want Reuben Bain here so bad.
It's pretty good. I'm telling you, he doesn't quit.
No. I just love that dude.
He doesn't quit.
I love that dude.
And somebody, I read all that stuff about Reuben Bain. They're like, somebody tried to get him to talk about that. He won't talk. He's like, I got a job to do.
I love that.
I got 10 other guys who are with me. I mean, he's much different than an Abdul Carter guy last year who ran his mouth. Everybody wanted to bring here. Like, that guy's a game changer. He didn't do anything this year. Reuben Bain's a much different player because he approaches a game completely different than what Abdul Carter did. But, man, what a game. What a game.
Yeah, great game. And then my guess is we're going to get another one tonight.
Better.
Which will be good. We got a loaded show. The first hour, we're going to kind of recap the coaching search, Preds win last night, the playoff game, obviously. Chris Sanders will join at 1. Nick Hague, Preds defenseman at 1:30. I had a conversation with him earlier today, so you'll hear that. At 2 o'clock, props to our buddy Greg Pogue for helping out with this. Babe Laufenberg will join us. Now, you might go, who is that? He is the color analyst for the Dallas Cowboys on their radio broadcast. He was also a former quarterback at Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys. He is very tight with Troy Aikman, with Jason Garrett, can give insight on Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy, who are both interviewing for the Titans head coaching job. So we'll talk to him at 2 o'clock. And at 2:30, Michelle Kennedy, the president of the Nashville Predators, will join us. What is our question of the day?
All right, so one of the greatest moments in sports happened 58 years ago today. Joe Namath, sitting by the pool in Miami Beach, guaranteed a victory for the New York Jets over the Baltimore Colts. Now, at the time, we go back betting, the Jets were about a 21-point underdog, and that is not a joke. They were a 21-point underdog to the Baltimore Colts. Namath guaranteed the victory, and they won. My question is, I want to know who you think in the history of sports is the coolest dude that's ever been involved in sports. The coolest dude who's ever been involved in sports. Joe Namath, you could say a Jim Brown, it doesn't matter. The coolest dude who's ever been involved, it could be present. Forsberg last night making that game winner, that was one of the coolest game winners I'd ever seen. It was very casual when he got the play. Things like that. Who was the coolest player that you've always admired and loved throughout history? Because 58 years ago today, Joe Namath guaranteed the Jets would win the Super Bowl.
Man, that is a really good question. And our
I know who yours is.
Well, I can go. It doesn't have to be a player. It can be
anybody. It can be anybody.
A race car driver. Maybe one that wore gargoyle sunglasses and had the baddest ass of a mustache ever.
And what's the common denominator in all these people? They don't really care what you think.
Yep.
Right?
Dale Earnhardt Sr., by far, is my answer to this question. Because he'd sit there leaned up against the race car with his arm. So I've been lately going to sleep on YouTube. They have a NASCAR Classic channel. They have all these old races.
Oh, nice.
Like 1984 out at the fairgrounds.
Okay.
And so I have been.
Did he win that one?
No, that was Neil Bonnet, actually.
And that was the last one here,
no,
right?
This was the one I just watched was the second to last
okay,
one.
Okay, all right.
Daryl, I think, won the last one.
All right.
So anyway, Jeff Bodine won the last one. I'm sorry. So I've been watching these old races to and falling asleep, you know, just but half the time I'll wake up and like start watching it again and like watch the end of it and then finally turn it off. But a lot of these are from the 80s and 90s, and he is such a badass.
Yeah.
Like he's leaned up with the got the sunglasses on, especially when he started driving the black car. And he's got the sunglasses on and he's just looking at you and drivers are walking by him and it's like, I'm gonna whip your ass. I'm gonna whip your ass. I'm gonna whip your ass. Like I mean it's just
see, that's example we're talking about, man.
The stone cold, like he was Stone Cold Steve Austin before there was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, I love it. Dr. Crane, you got one, Bubba? Oh, he's on the phone.
By the way, our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check him out at ariestactical.com.
Another one to me, one of the coolest of all. I loved Reggie Miller. Never won a title with the Pacers. He was just a cool dude, was going to shoot and didn't matter. And he was just, well, probably might be, I know Curry's up there, but Reggie Miller is up there as well as one of the best pure shooters of all time. I loved him. He was just a cool dude, man. But guys that back it up, and to me, Namath, and I've said this, is the most influential player in the Super Bowl era by far. And we talked to Mike Greenberg about this. He's got him number one about the AFL, the NFL, and what Namath did bringing the AFL back to life. But 58 years ago today, Joe Namath with the guarantee. Dr. Crane, who is the coolest athlete person that you know of, that you love?
Not in my lifetime. I wish I was born in the 80s for it, but Mike Tyson. There's just something about Mike Tyson. I've told you guys countless times.
It's a bad man.
I mean, I've watched a lot of those just fights on YouTube, and the fact that after prison, he was just a different boxer in general. Like, I would not want to step in the ring with that. That is an actual animal. Like, nobody wants to step in the way of him at all. And that's why I respect the sport of boxing. There's a lot of head trauma that goes with that, but it's an incredible sport and an incredible athlete.
He has one of the best quotes of all time. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
That's right. And you also, Dr. Crane, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, it was baseball, horse racing, and boxing.
Yep.
That was it. And football was there, basketball, meh. But that was the three, and boxing was up there. And they just
simpler
got
times.
Well, it just got corrupt with a lot of people who didn't belong in the boxing world.
Here's a couple on our text line. Craig says, coolest dude involved in sports, John Daly or Dale Sr.
John Daly, I forgot all about him. Absolutely, he's up there.
Mike in Lebanon. Nolan Ryan has to be on the list. Oh, you talk about ice water.
Watch that documentary on him.
He'll
man.
Fight you, too.
Every step of the
he'll
way.
He'll beat the you-know-what.
And he'll shove Olshan at your face, too.
Yeah. Ricky says Ken Griffey Jr.
Yep. I mean, you got a nickname to back it up, the kid. Yeah.
Dan from Nashville, coolest dude has to be Terry Bradshaw. Past and present, the dude is the definition of cool.
And I'd love when he reads highlights on the post game because he gets them all wrong and they laugh at him.
Another one from Gino for the kid, Ken Griffey, Joe Montana. 1847 says Dale Earnhardt or Tim Richmond. Richmond, that's a good one. Bruce from Clarksville says, Joe Montana, the John Candy Super Bowl story is hilarious.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best.
Is that John Candy?
When Harris Barton tells us, like, we got to go down and win this game. And it's like, Joe, what are you looking at? And he's like, damn, is that John Candy in the end zone? And Harris Barton's like, I knew then we were going to go down the field and win the game.
Dustin, let's see. No, Chase from White Bluff, Allen Iverson, never will forget him stepping over Ty Lue.
Yeah, that's
right. I'll never forget meeting him at Cherokee's Casino.
We were like, what are you doing here?
Basically.
Like, welcome in.
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Another one.
That's probably at the top.
Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
A lot of people, though, don't like him still.
Whatever. Randy Johnson, the big unit.
Yeah. I mean, when he killed that bird.
I mean, I was about to say, dude killed a bird.
Right.
By the way, one of the best Halloween costumes I have ever seen is like a couple costume where the guy is Randy Johnson and the girl is the blown up bird. Like she has like feathers and blood all over.
Nice.
So good. Huffy and Dixon always thought Hines Ward was cool.
There's a lot of talk about whether or not he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. He's a damn good player.
He's right there.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The coolest cat in sports.
All time.
Yep. All time. Coolest cat in sports. I say Dale Earnhardt. You say
Mike, Joe Namath.
Joe Namath, 615-737-1025. And you said Mike Tyson, Dr. Crane. We'll take those and much more. React to the playoff game and wherever you want to take this. The first hour is all for you. Chasing Big Joe on a Friday, 1025 The Game. You haven't lived until you have seen Big Joe karaoke this song in Key West, Florida.
It's the best. Thank you.
It is awesome. Welcome back in, Chasing Big Joe. This is a great song. Chasing Big Joe on this Friday. By the way, little wrestling trivia for you. Who used this? What famous wrestler used this as their walkout song?
No clue.
That would be, at one point in time, the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Oh, okay. Connor, you know that? Connor know back there?
He probably here waving his hand.
Do
like
you didn't
child.
Know that? Okay.
I got it. Right. I got yep. it.
That would be before he used 2001 A Space Odyssey. That's he used Easy Lover.
Oh, nice.
So, which totally fits him. Question of the day. Coolest person in sports of all time, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And a lot of you have called in on this, so let's lead things off with Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, what you got?
Fellas, y'all got it 100% right. I'm 63 years old. The very first football game I remember is Super Bowl III because my dad had hated Joe Namath with a passion. Child of the Depression, World War II vet. Joe Namath had long hair, wore white shoes instead of black, wore a mink coat, and a couple years later made a pantyhose commercial. I cannot tell you the words my father used to express his disdain for Joe Namath, which made all young people like Joe Namath. So that's what happened with that. But I want to know who there knows the Oiler connection with Joe Namath.
Oh, gosh. I know what you're talking about. Oh, my goodness. Did they trade his pick away?
Well, this is one of the few things that I do really admire, but I was about the Oilers had the rights to Joe Namath, but Joe Namath said, I will not play for any other AFC team except if I play for the Jets. And but Adams got basically back nothing except goodwill for allowing the Jets to have him. Now, bonus trivia question, what NFL team had the rights to Joe Namath and said they would not engage in a bidding war with the junior league over a junior quarterback?
Oh, I am
Giants?
Going to say it wasn't the Colts, was it?
The Bidwell-led St. Louis Cardinals. They could have had Joe Namath for an average salary, but they didn't want to pay him. And wow. Now you know the rest of the story. Good day.
Some things never change.
Thank you, Kenny.
That's good. Good trivia right there. Thank you, Kenny.
Kenny always has good trivia. Yep. Our buddy Todd Rodemel from the Omni has a great one. My dad would have probably said this. Kenny the Snake Stabler.
Yeah, I think that's probably number two. I mean, that's probably number two.
I mean, this dude's pulling up to the stadium on a motorcycle with two girls on the back of it and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
That's evidently a true story.
I don't know if that's actually cool, but it looked cool.
Well, they said he pulled up and said, hey, I'll see you in a few hours. Don't leave. That was the rumor that happened. He said, I'll see you in a few hours. And like, you ever studied the playbook? He's like, yeah, by the light of a jukebox. I was like, yes. Good one. Really good one.
Oh, that is a good one. Let's go to John, who wants to weigh in. John, what you got?
Hey, guys, thank you very much. But y'all have left out, at least what I've heard, left out the coolest guy who set the trend for cool, Babe Ruth.
Okay.
So that guy, man, he wore the long fur coats. He wore the zoot suits. He had the hat. He had women all night. The guy would show up drunk to the game, point at the wall he was going to knock the ball over, and smash it. So, hey, don't leave out Babe Ruth. Whatever you do.
That's a good one. I mean, that's going way back. I mean, you hear the stories about Babe. I mean, even watch the movie The Natural. The Babe is part of that movie, too, yeah. And see all that. So that's a good one, John. Thanks, yeah. Brother.
That is yeah. That's a good
Take
one.
Care.
All right,
Thank
John.
Thank you, John. By the way, I just saw this on Twitter. I guess this was posted yesterday because this is one of the coolest guys from the 90s. He had four touchdowns in one game, Polkai, Al Bundy.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently on January 28th, Ed O'Neill, Katie Sagal, Christina Applegate, and David Faustino will reunite for an evening with the Bundys.
I like it. Where's it going to be?
I don't know.
Okay.
It just says I guess it's a live event that's going to raise money for something. But,
nice.
That's pretty cool to see that.
Sure.
All right, coolest person all time in sports, Jack in Goodlettsville. Jack, what you got?
Yeah, you know, Earnhardt would certainly be right up there. And you know my favorite Earnhardt story. Back when they were losing those cars into the catch fences at Talladega and Daytona, and there was this whole thing going on that these cars were too fast. Earnhardt finally heard enough of it. He said, listen, I get paid to go as fast as this dang thing will go. If you're scared of it, take all the grandstands, put them on the inside, and then I'll just fly over the fence and land in the parking lot someplace. Otherwise, I don't want to hear no more about this. And I thought, boy, that's him. That's him.
That's great.
Well, that's perfect.
Yeah, just move all the grandstands on the other side. No, sure, nothing to it. But there's so many, but for me, it'll always be Joe Montana. Always.
Why?
Because he made it look so easy. Do you ever remember Joe losing it and throwing his temper and, acting like he certainly could have acted?
No, you know? I don't. No, I don't. You're right.
And four Super Bowls, and do I remember this right? He never had a pick in any of the four of them?
I think that might be correct.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers in those days were just a machine. But to me, there was – I mean, the story about him looking up in the grandstands and saying, look, there's so-and-so. Right in the heat of everything.
I think it's great. Also, remember Joe Namath, and we've talked about this, never took a snap out of the shotgun.
Joe Montana.
Who did I say?
Namath.
Yeah, Joe Montana never took a snap out of the shotgun because Bill Walsh did not want him taking his eyes off the defense even for half a second. So now it's all shotgun, shotgun, shotgun. Joe Namath never took a snap out of the not one snap out of the shotgun.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of great players, and I could have a list of 10 or 20 people here, no problem. But for me, that was always – I mean, Joe Cool, they weren't kidding. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All the
Thanks
Joes.
For the call, Jack. Appreciate
Namath,
it.
Montana, Rex Road, Dubin.
Yeah. All right, if you had to do it by sport, who's the coolest in each sport? You'll say Namath for football.
Basketball, I mean, I love Reggie Miller. I mean, it's easy to say Jordan. It's easy to say that, but I loved Hakeem Olajuwon's my favorite player.
I'm going to have people – this is one that's going to be – people are either going to agree with me or they're going to fight me.
All right.
Kobe.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean
– it's a great one.
I think Kobe for basketball. Football, I will say – I'll probably go – you know what? I'm going to do mine. Emmitt. Emmitt Smith was like the coolest guy to me.
There's no wrong answer here.
Hockey – I would say that's a tough one. There's so many. I liked Mario. I'd probably say Mario.
I got to go with Pred. I don't know much about the NHL back in the prehistory before the Pred. So, mine would be a Predator. Steve Sullivan was pretty damn cool when he was here.
I mean, Tutu would be my Predator.
Probably Dorsey Hart. I mean, they're all being different things, but Tutu probably be number one.
Baseball.
This is an easy one, but I think the coolest nonconformist guy to ever play the sport of baseball.
Pete Rose.
No doubt. All day.
I mean, we were going to say it together.
All day long. And I know he screwed up and he's passed away now, but the way he played the game and the way he loved his teammates, I mean, he's the coolest dude. Now, Dale Murphy's my favorite player, but you separate the two. From favorite to the coolest dude, and I think Pete Rose is the coolest dude.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree. Racing, Earnhardt. But there's a few answers. I mean, some people might have said Daryl. I mean, back in the 80s and 90s, though, I mean, it was easy. Like, it's a different group now.
It is. I mean, you could go even like when tennis. I love McEnroe. But the tennis McEnroe player I love, I love Jimmy Connors. Loved when he made that run to the U.S. Open in 1990. He was 40 years old, and they're like, "Oh my God, he's 40! He's 40!" And I was like, "God, he is 40." Then you get 40, and you're like, "It's not so bad."
Yeah.
The next thing you know, you're 50. Like, it's not so bad. But Jimmy Connors was really cool.
Golf. Jack? I mean, Jack had a Daly is obviously different. He's
favorite
one.
And cool. You got to separate them.
Yeah.
John Daly's he doesn't care what you think. Didn't he have a 15 putt on some green in a tournament? He just kept missing the putt. He just walked off. I mean, that's us. That's what we do. We do all that. His story of winning the PGA in Indianapolis in 91 is legendary. Drove all night, got exemption at the last second, won it, goes and wins the British Open. It's just his story is fantastic. And, yeah, he screwed up. We've all screwed up.
I got one. Gary Player. Player just, had that cool, calm, collective.
Is he still with us?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's, 90-something.
Okay.
But Player, I mean, I obviously was – in his prime before my time, but he's 90.
He's 90.
Yeah. But I mean, he just he was always had the physique, and I mean, he's still at 90 years old. Looks like he could go out there and do some damage.
Lee Trevino was like that.
Yeah.
Was just an iconic figure on and off the ice. Our buddy Greg Pogue says Walt Frazier. It's a generational thing, but Walt Frazier doing the, the No More Gray commercials? Bad dude, man.
With
Keith Hernandez?
Keith Hernandez, yeah.
Well, I mean, these are bad dudes back and bad as far as being cool, and that's exactly what they were.
Payne Stewart gets one as well. We'll take more of your calls. Hang on the line, everybody, and we'll get to these coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Is this the Blues Brothers version? Nice. Great. I went on, I watched the Blues Brothers after a few weeks ago. And then I started listening to all the albums they put out. So good.
It is.
After Steve Cropper passed away.
It's a timeless evergreen music.
So good. Let's go back to the phones. Joe wants to weigh in on our question of the day. Coolest cat in sports all time. What you got, Joe?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Yeah, hello.
How y'all doing?
We're good, man. Tap.
I was telling I would have to go for the Nature Boy Ric Flair. He is the greatest of all time. And for me, whenever I put my suit on, and I do have a Rolex, and I put it on, and you know, you can't help but act like Ric Flair, I'll be driving down the road. I'll be driving down the road, and somebody, some hot girl will be pulling up, and I'm like, woo, it's just funny, Ric Flair would be the top of the cotton. So, okay. Style and profile, brother.
That's woo. Right, man.
All right.
Thanks, Joe.
Have a good evening.
You too. All right. You too. Appreciate that. And he has some of the greatest lines of all time, such as, whether you like it or you don't like it, learn to love it because it's the best thing going today. None of you can be first. Some of you could be next. Woo! Tim wants to weigh in. Tim, what you got?
Hey, guys. Don't know if you're remembering. I think I'm remembering this correctly. Ronnie Lott.
Okay.
He was a defensive back from the – I remember he about tore a finger completely off, and he just went out and told him, just go ahead and take it off, wrap it back up so I can play.
That's right.
Jeez.
I mean, when you're that tough and you tell him just go and take it on off, so I can get back out there. He's one of the coolest guys I know.
I'm with you. And our buddy Jeff Fisher played with him at USC and told stories about Ronnie Lott in college being that way. And they're all fascinating. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a great one, man. Well, that's a cool dude.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Tim. Dan in Franklin wants to weigh in. Dan, what's up?
All right, fellas. Pogster took mine, which was Walt Frazier, but – it's not because he was in the Just for Men commercial, Joe.
Right.
He endorsed Puma, okay? And at the time, no one had ever heard of a Puma shoe. And he had a special shoe, and his alter ego was Clyde. And so he would wear, a full-length mink coat, a pimp hat, and drive up to Madison Square Garden in a white Rolls.
Oh, yes.
And he would just – and he was a wheeler dealer, great point guard, silky smooth. He was awesome. Now, baseball, I can't get behind Pete Rose.
Yeah.
He's the biggest jackass who ever played.
I know, but he thought the world of you, Dan.
How about Derek Jeter? Can we go there? Hall of Fame guy.
you know, dating all the babes in New York.
Loved gift baskets.
Yeah, I got to go with him. Hockey, there's two guys you're missing. The one is the coolest guy of all time in hockey was Derek Sanderson. Okay, he played for the Bruins in the 70s. They called him Turk. He had a long hair, porno mustache, just really physical, great player. And then he went to the WHA and was the first guy to make $1 million a year. Awesome guy. And then Bobby Orr. Come on.
Yeah, Bobby's a good one.
Revolutionized the game. They didn't wear helmets, hair flowing, just smoking down the ice, going around everyone. He was Connor McJesus before Connor McJesus.
Wasn't that?
So those are mine.
Wasn't that? What doesn't Bird? Wouldn't and Bird talk about how he would look to the rafters at Boston Garden and channel Bobby Orr? Wasn't that something? I think that's a Bird talked about that, how he'd always look. They're like, what are you staring at up there? He's like, I'm staring at Bobby Orr. That was his thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think Pete Rose is an interesting and intriguing character. I just don't find him cool.
Okay, how about
that? Come on.
How about the way he played the game, though? I mean, he just
that's a different – to me, that's a different category. Toughest player – you know, most competitive player, no doubt about it, but not the coolest.
Well, I find that cool. I find that being somebody text in Dan about Nolan Ryan.
Okay, I can get there.
Nah, you don't like it, do you?
You know, no, I mean, when I think of cool, I think you guys nailed it with Joe Namath. Come on, I mean, that's like, he's in his own category. So all the stuff that Broadway Joe did, that is the essence of cool.
All right, what about what?
I think he's the most important.
Right, one more for you. How cool was Rick Leach?
Awesome. Rick Leach, Michigan Wolverine.
That's right.
Okay. Guts and glue of the maize and blue.
There you go, buddy.
Awesome.
All right, boys.
Thanks, Dan.
I had to weigh in on this one.
Always.
All right, Isabellas. All right. Okay, bye, guys.
See you. Man. Our buddy Dan.
Yeah. Rick Leach was a Michigan quarterback in the late 70s, wanted to play pro baseball, but he was a cool dude. But I think Pete Rose was cool. I mean, he is a jackass, and that's part of being, I guess, the cool love is being not liked in so many places. Dale Earnhardt was not liked.
No. So you either loved him or you hated him.
That's right.
Same and way. Like, there were a lot of, I think there were a lot of people that became NASCAR fans because of a guy like Jeff Gordon, because he was the clean-cut, different guy, where you had the blue-collar fans of NASCAR for a long time were like, oh, what's this pretty boy doing coming in here trying to race with
good versus bad.
Oh, it was brilliant for the sport.
Yeah, how we got on this topic, to where we're going to kind of go back a little bit, was 58 years ago today, Joe Namath sitting by the pool in Miami with the famous, I guarantee we're going to win. That's how he came up with, who's this the coolest dude in sports?
Yeah, it's a great one. I found a list, too, from 2018 that has some names on it.
Oh, okay.
RT wants to weigh in. RT, what you got?
Hey guys, so in 1976, I asked my parents for a Sports Illustrated subscription growing up in central Alabama near Huntsville, and waited months and finally ran out in some February and opened the mailbox like the kid in Christmas Story, and there was Dr. J with a red, white, and blue basketball flying through the air with his fro, you know, flying through. And when I looked at that, I stood out by the road by 10 minutes just staring at that, and I thought, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
How?
And then if you've never – I'm sorry?
I was going to say, how do we leave him off the list? So thank you for calling in with this. Keep going.
You got to watch The Doctor, the documentary The Doctor. He was the coolest man on the planet for about 5-6 years.
Oh, he's
and
still
a great player.
He still has the best dunk of all time.
No question. And the move against the Lakers when he flew under the – under the backboard.
Amen.
That's one of the greatest shots in the history of basketball.
All day.
And I got to put one more. I'm dating myself, but these two selections, but you got to put King Richard on the list. Anybody that can pull off wearing sunglasses all the time and a cowboy hat, they're cool.
Oh, that's a good one, RT. Thank you, brother.
All right, y'all have a good weekend.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
God, I forgot about Dr. J.
That is a good one. Several that are on this list that I will read coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Friday, 102.5 The Game. Dr. Crane going deep in the archives today. I like it. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5. Tom Jones?
Is that right? That is him.
Favorite singer of one of our favorite moms in television history, Marge Simpson.
That's right.
Mr. Tom Jones. 615-737-1025, our topic, our question of the day, the coolest cat in sports of all time. And there really isn't a right or a wrong answer on this. Before I read this list, I want to ask you, does today's sports allow for a Joe Namath type anymore? Because I would say it doesn't.
It's a great question. Because they're all so calculated and nobody's controversial.
Well, and they're just like athletes are almost too athletic now.
The same goes for NASCAR drivers.
Yeah, 100%.
They're not going to be outlandish and crazy and say things because the marketing aspect pays them more than driving does.
Dale Earnhardt does not work today.
No, not at all.
Darrell Waltrip probably doesn't work
today.
None
of those do. High personality guys don't work today. Not, they just don't do it. That's just the evolution of things.
They should, because that's NASCAR's biggest problem. Because, I mean, and look, I like a lot of these guys, but they're all boring.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle Busch is the closest one with a personality, and a lot of people don't like him.
I mean, you look at football, y'all automatically gravitate towards a quarterback. Like Jalen Hurts, no. Mahomes, a little bit. You know, I think if Josh Allen was to support the Bills, he gets that cachet. He could be really, really cool. I think he's a cool dude. I think he's had a great story. Nobody wanted him out of college. I mean, out of junior college. Wyoming barely wanted him. So he's the only I can think of right now.
Like somebody said on the text line, you know, what is Diego Pavia? Like Diego Pavia has swagger. And now look, that's also the difference. And maybe I could be wrong. Like if Twitter was around back then, you know, you probably would have had a lot of people that hated Joe Namath.
Sure.
You know, for being like, how dare he guarantee that and be so arrogant, you mm-hmm. know? But like Pavia, you either have a group that's like, that dude is the coolest guy that has ever walked the face of this earth. Or you have the group that goes, he's a jackass. I can't wait till he fails.
Yeah. I mean, I see that. And I had a problem like, you know, winning a championship puts you in a different level.
Sure.
That's like with Reggie Miller. He never won a championship. But he was just a cool dude who was one of the greatest shooters of all time. Do you have to have – like, I love Dan Marino.
Yeah.
I love – but the knock has been he never won a Super Bowl. And that's always going to be there for elite players. Do you have to have won a championship on that level? And he didn't do it, but I still think Marino's the greatest quarterback of all time.
All right. So here – this is a list from Bleacher Report from June 2018.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, there's – you know, but this is all time. Some honorable mentions that they have. Terrell Owens, he's selfish, annoying, and overdramatic, but you'd be lying if you said T.O. wasn't cool.
Not cool at all.
Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Absolutely cool.
Deshaun Jackson.
Nope.
Ozzie Smith, the
yes.
Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
All right. Number 50, Daryl Dawkins.
Yeah, I mean, he smashed a
Chocolate Thunder.
Smashed a backboard down, yeah.
This one is you either love him or you hate him, but I would agree. Number 49, Manny Ramirez.
Indifferent. Give me the 15 one, because I'm not going to sit through the 40.
Well, there's a few that okay. I'm just Tony Hawk.
Yeah. Yeah. In a different way. He's very cool.
46 is Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I mean, LT, man.
But again, separate favorite from cool.
Yeah. They got Randy Moss, Pete Maravich, Dominique Wilkins, Tiger Woods, Wayne Gretzky, Bobby Orr. That's now we're into the 30s. All right. You want 15?
Yeah. So there's a guy that I'm surprised Dan didn't bring up. Mark Fidrich played for the Tigers. The nickname, I forget what the nickname he had. Wasn't the greatest pitcher, but he was a cool dude, had a funky windup. Was it the Bird?
Yeah.
Mark Fidrich, the Bird, I think it was. That's cool.
I'm going to give you 20. I'm going to
okay.
give you the top 20.
All right.
Number 20. Dr. J, Julius Erben.
Bingo.
Number 19, Earl Monroe.
Yes, Earl the Pearl.
And number 18, Barry Sanders.
No.
Okay. Number 17, Bob Gibson.
Yes.
Number 16, he's just Ricky being Ricky, Ricky Henderson.
No.
Really?
I don't think he's – no. He's great. I don't think he's cool.
I think his cockiness kind of made him that way.
There's no wrong right answer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd put Ricky in there.
Okay.
15 from the Soccer World, Pele.
Absolutely. He's right behind you on the poster.
Yeah. 14, Arthur Ashe.
Yeah, he's a cool dude, man.
13, Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Number 12, Irvin Magic Johnson. Yeah,
I mean, he is just the best.
11, the answer, Allen Iverson.
Cool.
Yes.
He needs to be behind Irvin and those guys.
Number 10, Willie Mays.
Yeah, I mean.
Big time.
Say hey, kid. Big time. Baby.
Number 9, the kid, Ken Griffey Jr.
Yep.
Number 8, Bo Knows, Bo Jackson.
Hell yeah.
Number 7, Iron, Mike Tyson.
There we go. Yep.
Number 6, Broadway, Joe Namath.
My man. Should be number 1, though. That's all right.
Number 5, very off the beaten path, Evel Knievel.
No, not at all. Being cool, being crazy doesn't make you cool in my world.
Some people it does.
Yeah.
Number 4, Walt Clyde Frazier.
There you go, Greg Pogue.
Number 3, I'm wondering people would have said this name if this was 5 years ago when we were having this conversation. Prime time, Deion Sanders.
It's a great question. That's a great, great player. Is the cockiness overrides the coolness?
I don't know.
It's a good one. He's definitely in the conversation.
All right, two more. Who do you think they are?
Oh, gosh. Athletes or drivers or who?
Athletes.
Athletes. What sport?
Basketball and a non-major sport.
Basketball, Jordan.
Yep.
Okay. And number one, non-major sport. Is it Dell? Non-major sport. Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Okay. No tenant. Was McEnroe make that list?
I don't know. He may be beyond 20.
Okay.
I mean, Arthur Ashe.
Arthur. Okay.
Let's see. Montana was 21, in case you were wondering. Jeter, 22. Reggie Jackson, 23. DiMaggio, 24.
Ooh.
Roberto Clemente was 25. Dwayne The Rock Johnson was 26. Ray Lewis was 27. Brady was 28. Mickey Mantle, 29. Bjorn Borg was 30th.
Good. It's a good one.
Charles Barkley, 31st. Michael Irvin, 32nd. Kobe was 33. Dwayne Wade, 34. Mario Andretti, 35. Wilt Chamberlain, 36. Chad Ochocinco, 37. Jim Brown, 38. Manny Pacquiao, 39. No, I don't think he was on that list.
And no hockey players?
Bobby Orr and Gretzky were 41 and 40.
Okay.
Yep. But again, that was 2018, so
yeah. I don't know. And that's the thing. And I think as time elapses, I think Brady moves up in that poll. I mean, because at the time, Namath wasn't – I mean, he was kind of exuberant and different and kind of cool, but you're not unsure what was going on. But now time passes, and Namath's like, oh, that's a dude, man.
What about – I mean, again, like ability to me kind of factors into this, but like Dikembe Mutombo, he was just fun.
Because of the commercial.
No, right? I mean, I enjoy it like when he was playing.
We didn't see that side of him. That's the thing. Like Andy Reid. I had no idea Andy Reid was funny to those commercials. And I'm like, damn, he's funny. Another example, George Bush.
Oh, yeah.
He became really funny after he got out of the first Bush, Papa Bush.
Yeah.
Was fun. I mean, so you see a different side of these people when they get out of the limelight, per se.
I feel like W would allow you to see kind of some of his personality. And, like, you know, Dana Carvey did a really good impression of him.
The best.
I mean, Will Ferrell's was funny, too. But
they'd separate. So,
yeah.
Ferrell did 43. Is that's
did W,
right? Yeah. And then 41 was Carvey. He did
both.
He did both, but his main thing was doing 41, which is HW.
But like he did, there was an episode of the first episode of NCIS where they actually have Bush on Air Force One, and I think it was Dana Carvey
really
playing him. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
all right. The SNL where Danny Carvey did both Bush and Ross Perot is one of the greatest SNL skits of all time.
There is one, you may remember this, from 2000, where it was Will Ferrell was W, and who was Al Gore?
Daryl Hammond.
Daryl Hammond was Al Gore, mm-hmm. and they basically, they had to be roommates until the election was decided.
Yeah, right? Great.
It was so good.
And they both did those dead on, and Daryl Hammond did Al Gore.
He had, like, there was like a carton of milk that says Al Gore's, and W goes, whatever, drinks out of it.
Like, oh, it was so bloodiest. Good. Yep.
Oh, so good. Coming up next, we'll talk to our buddy Chris Sanders, get his thoughts on the latest with the Titans and the coaching